Bob, while I look through some of these questions, why don't you say something about something? It's going to take me a second to get through a couple of these and pull some out.
No problem. Craig, let's get something sparked up. You've been way too quiet. I have feelings that you probably made five more offers. That or you're like drooling on top of your computer right now. Craig,
yeah,
you went out there and as we've talked about kiss flipping, I just want to kind of elaborate for a little bit. Most of you probably know or have seen videos of Craig and I screwing around in Indiana. And what I want to try to help people understand here is how some people may perceive failure. And Craig and I, and this is more soft stuff here, but some people really look at that and look at what we did in Indiana, which we haven't done jack in Indiana, even though we've gone out there and watched Craig fall on his butt a couple of times on his what's going to become a very infamous YouTube video. What, Craig, you know, what was your initial take on, you know, Indiana, we were working it together, nothing really came out of it. I start saying, you know, Craig, if you still are asking me, you're ready to do something. You're sick of whatever, and you're ready to make some money and really make some headway on some debt, things like that. I talk about Arizona. What was your first initial reaction? Viewpoint of Indiana versus, I guess initially what did you think and then what did you think afterwards after going to Arizona?
Well, just to kind of fill folks in, Bob and I had a chance to go out to Indiana to look at a bunch of houses about 6 months ago. While we were out there, it kind of occurred to Bob that Indiana felt a lot like Detroit without the high property taxes and some of the other things that are going on in Detroit, the high unemployment. And so just from a kind of shoot from the hip, he and I both said, wow, you know, prices out here seem really low. Unemployment doesn't seem that bad. Why don't we see if we can flip some houses in Indiana? And what we kind of got caught up in was the process of getting everything started without really deciphering the market. And it kind of, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but I mean, this is really before you, I mean, really honed in on how you feel about kiss flipping now, right? I mean, you knew how to do it in Detroit. You were very successful about doing it in Detroit. I don't know if you were as methodic about really deciphering the market back then as you are even today.
Well, what we did is, if you remember, we were trying to flip houses, but we were trying to flip them to investors.
That's exactly right, and that's what I was about to get to. So what we kind of found was, you know, we laid a lot of the groundwork. We got a great team on the ground. We found a bank that wanted to play ball with us. We found a few deals. And then we actually found a buyer. But then the bank decided that they didn't want to play ball. We then also found out that it was just really kind of a sleepy market out there. It wasn't the spreads weren't as great as we thought that they were, you know, upon really looking at the market a little bit more. And I think what Bob's question was is, you know, how did that all sit with me after I spent kind of 6 months of my heart and soul, you know, thinking that we were going to burn it up in Indiana? It didn't sit too well with me because I don't like to feel like I was a failure at something. And Bob really crystallized it the last time we were out in Phoenix, and it was, look, you took a look at it. It really wasn't working the way you wanted it to work. You found something else that was working better, and you're going to go exploit that opportunity. So I would only caution anybody that, you know, Fred and Courtney touched on it. They bought a million different programs, and they tried a lot of them, and some of them worked better than others. Well, the fact is they kept trying. A lot of people would take what Bob and I did in Indiana and probably make that their last investing endeavor. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, spend their heart and soul, go out and tell all their friends and family that they're going to be millionaires in Indiana and, you know, buy one house and make 10 grand and get pretty discouraged. You know, I'm not really that guy, though I don't like to feel like I failed. And Bob really crystallized it for me there, that it obviously was not a failure.
All right.
Hopefully that was a little benefit to everyone, that little tidbit.
Just so you know, I'm ready to start taking questions when you are.
And go for it.
All right. We got a lot of great questions, really good questions, but we got to go with a lightning round on the answers. So everybody talk fast. I'm going to start with somebody on the phone, though. I'm actually going to start with somebody on their cell phone in West Palm Beach, Florida area, area code 561. I have just unmuted you, so we should be able to hear you. Go ahead and tell us who you are and what's your question.
Terrific. Yeah, this is Terry from West Palm Beach. I've been
Terry. I'm ready to come live down there with you.
Okay. Well, it's a great place. We got a golf course down here too, so shouldn't be any problem. Anyway, I've been working primarily in the wholesale sector recently, trying to get started, making a lot of offers, tying properties up, not being able to get properties sold quickly. You know, the concept of selling to the retail end buyer makes a lot of sense to me just because there should be margins. But the question I have is, how do you find, how do you market to the end buyer? I mean, you go buy a house, who do you sell it to? How do you find the buyers?
That's great. Why don't you guys walk through that?
What we figured out is buyers go to the MLS, a retail buyer. Craigslist, it still works in some markets, Craigslist, for sale by owner. That always works really well when the market's hot. And don't get me wrong, the market has definitely picked up, but it was nothing like it was a couple years ago. Almost what I found is MLS is where a traditional buyer, they don't know if they're approved, they get approved, they go see a realtor, they go start looking at homes.
Now, while that is the correct answer, I know it's not as simple as that. It's not, you're not just slapping it on the MLS. Can you go into a little bit of the unique strategy that as to why you're able to sell them quickly on the MLS?
Well, actually, we are.
I was going to.
We are. Literally, we are slapping them on the MLS. But my response to that is we're doing all sorts of things. Like in Arizona, there's no need to pay a bonus to the selling agent. But in Michigan, we're giving them $5,000 to get their attention. You know, what it really comes down to, to boil it down, is most buyers go through the traditional process. They get approved with the mortgage broker, they sit down with the realtor, and they go out and look at homes. The MLS is where 80% of all activity occurs. Go where the masses are when it comes to trying to sell a property.
So let me just quickly say as well, if you're selling to investors, you need to be finding out who's buying in that neighborhood, where the other rehabs are, putting out bandit signs, steal my crappy house on, you know, here's the phone number, and you'll get more calls than you can possibly imagine. If people are truly investing in that area.
I have a partner down in Arizona. He put up bandit signs and got about 30 calls off of maybe 5 bandit signs. Listed the property today. We already have 30 showings scheduled, and that's just been since today.
Now, are these like those handwritten bandit signs, you know, like, handwritten with a big black Sharpie, steal this house, I got to sell $35,000 kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of sideways and makes it look like you don't know how to spell, you're in the fourth grade.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the approach that he used.
Those do get attention.
I'm going to revert back to MLS. MLS is how everything is moving right now, at least in my experience. That's where the majority of buyers are going to look for a deal. They don't know how to find a deal. They hear about foreclosures. Just think about it. Just take an average guy. What does he do? He doesn't know what to do. I mean, he goes and starts talking to a realtor. In fact, most investors, that's how they buy. They get overwhelmed and confused by, what? You talk to old people who just died in probate lawyers? That, huh? They don't do that. They go to the MLS and they start making offers on foreclosures. So,
all right, that was not a lightning answer. We have to move along. Let's roll.
Next.
All right.
Craig's going to be the
moderator
in the question. Yeah, thank you, Craig.
There you
You're
go.
Welcome.
Okay, we'll go to somebody calling from Plumbing Hellas in Dedham, Massachusetts. I don't know if your first name is Plumbing or if you're calling from a company, but I just unmuted you. Who are you?
Good evening, Johnny Hellas Plumbing from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, Johnny.
Thanks for
calling.
Home office, plumber. Looking to get into the real estate, it sounds like you guys don't use realtors because they kind of scare me with the kind of money they're making. I mean, is that some I should be a concern with that chunk
Great
of money
question.
Don't them as profit?
Great question. Go for it, guys.
I mean, you guys sell your own homes through the MLS? Is that what it sounds like?
Yep.
You just need the attorney for the paperwork.
You know, let's...
JP, maybe you could clarify, or maybe you could clarify Boston, what you mean. You mean they go in and they see what I bought it for on the MLS and they see what I'm selling it for?
No, if you got a realtor involved to try to sell a flip, you know, if you actually found one, fix it up, and you wanted it to move quickly, you'd call a realtor and they take like, I don't know, 15, 20%. I don't know. It's a crazy amount of money.
They actually, the standard in most parts of the U.S. is 6%. There's and I budget to pay realtors 6 to 8% on every deal that I sell.
All right, so you want it to move, so you call the people who know the people who are looking for the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not only that, but a lot of times I know you'll find a realtor who specializes and does a lot of closings in the specific area where the house is, and you'll have them handle it because they clearly seem to have something going in the area, right?
Yeah,
right.
They're what I call a market expert. Let's say they're selling, they're working with 15 buyers a month. Guess what? They're going to list my property in hopes of them bringing their own buyer and getting a full 6% commission. I want to give them all that money because he who has buyers is king.
All right. Let me go to some of the questions we've taken in. Phyllis in Austin, Texas says, how specifically do you use the MLS in finding REO deals? What criteria do you follow for your deals? So why don't you describe how you're using the MLS? And I'll tell you, there's another question that goes along with this that I've seen a couple of times, and that is, how are you getting access to the MLS? Great question.
All right,
answer.
I want to let Fred and Courtney answer that one first, and then perhaps Craig.
Good. Fred and Courtney, how did you guys get access to the MLS in Phoenix?
Partnering. Partner with someone who has MLS access. It's about creating partner. You know, it's like they say, you know, real estate's not a house business. It's a people business. And that's part of what you learn in Kiss Flipping is how to develop some of those key relationships.
I'm gonna be more specific. It's Craig.
Yeah, Craig did this in about 10 minutes. Go ahead, Craig. Tell him what you did.
We were out in Indiana. Bob and I, obviously, I don't think either of us had ever even been to Indy before either. So we got back and I said, let's find a realtor. I literally went on Craigslist. I said, I'm an investor working in Indiana. We want to buy houses. Give me a call. I got like 3 calls when I was outside mowing my lawn. This young kid calls me. He's like, hey, yeah, I love working with investors. Hey, how can I help you? And I said, you can give me your username and password for the MLS. And he said, okay. I said, great. Here's my email address. Send it over to me. And that's what he did. Now, is it always that easy? No. But, you know, what do you say to someone who says, you know, well, what's in it for me? What's in it for you? You send me deals. I promise to make them the offers through you. I can't always promise you that. I'm not going to promise you that every offer I make is going to be through you, because that's not the way I operate. If and when we sell a house and you know the area, we'll list it through you. You know, those are the kinds of things you can say to realtors. But this guy, the moral of the story is, you're never going to
ask.
You got to ask.
Just ask.
You just got to ask.
I went down to Florida and I was sitting next to a lady and I'm at an auction, and after about a half hour, she's like, "Oh, I'm a realtor." And I said, "Yeah, cool." And she goes, "Well, how are you going to learn the market?" And I'm like, I gotta get MLS access. And she said, "Oh, I'll give you mine." I mean,
it's much easier than you guys think.
Yeah.
There's
well,
some specific
that question.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, unless you want to follow up, JP, I wanted Fred and Courtney to kind of outlay how they search for foreclosures on the MLS, since they're like on there all the time, and I know that they tend to live and breathe on that thing. So maybe they could just share you guys can't go into detail on everything, but maybe an overview of your strategies.
Well, we actually just picked our target areas. So we, picked a certain city, and then we picked the subdivision. We look at what's hot, what's selling, and we just set up searches for the active back on markets, even the houses that are getting ready to expire. And we just watch those, and constant, probably, I don't know, we sit there and hit enter on the searches just constantly to see what's getting updated, and just jump in there with the hot markets and pull whatever is listed off there as fast as we can that fits whatever criteria we set up.
Let me just give a quick example. If you understand that homes sell, let's say as is, most foreclosures are selling for $100,000. Okay, great. And you see a house get listed for $50,000. Oh, well, if you understand that it's worth $100,000 without doing anything, you intuitively understand that that's a great deal. So what I teach people to do, and you can't do that in a 3-minute answer, but I teach people how to identify areas where the likelihood of a deal coming through is pretty high. That's what I call opportunity markets. You learn an opportunity. That's like with the markets where a lot of investors are in, but there just happens to be big spreads. There's more opportunity to buy a house at asking price and sell it for a lot more. And I teach you how to figure that out. Once you understand that, you set up your search, and you just look for everything that's under a certain price. And if it comes on the market, you react extremely quickly. And it's simple. That's about it. There's no way to make it more complicated. That's how simple it is. Learn a market, and then watch everything that gets listed at the right price, and then react to it.
Okay. Real quick, answer this one. How do you just give me your buying formula, your typical buying formula? How do you decide what you're offering on REOs? And I'll throw this out to anybody.
The simplest buying formula that I use in Arizona is I want to make $30,000. So, and it typically costs me 10% of soft cost to sell a property. So let's say a property is worth $100,000. It's going to sell for $100,000. I got $10,000 in cost, paying realtors, paying the interest, transfer taxes, things like that. So you take away the $10,000. Then you take away the 30, which is my desired profit to make on a deal, which would drop you to 60. From there, you then subtract the repairs that are necessary to sell that property for $100,000. So that's a pretty straightforward formula that, that I pretty much am looking. Now let's say that for some reason, you don't need to do deals, and you want to make $50,000. You would just use the same formula, and you would just, take that $100,000 less $10,000 less $50,000 less repairs. Whatever your desired profit margins are, that's how I look at a deal.
Okay, Craig, any different on your end?
Sorry, I usually just drink a bunch of scotch and then I'll throw out an offer.
Is it that? I hear Courtney laughing in the background, or somebody laughing in the background.
That's the formula, man. I don't know. No, seriously, it's exactly what Bob said. Now, like, you know, a lot of people use the 70% formula. So whatever the after repair value is, times 70% minus your repairs. Boom, done. It's, you know, it's not rocket science.
All right. Jenny threw out a tip here when you were talking about why Canadians are buying down here. She says, U.S. dollars in the tank, Canadian dollars much higher, so better value for the Canadian buyer.
That is precisely right.
Are you guys using option contracts at all in your acquisition? This is an unnamed questioner.
Nope. We're buying REOs, so
yes, can't use
you can't
can't
use options when you buy REOs.
It's not a bad model, but it's bad for REOs. Donna in Tucson says, I'll give Bob 50% on residential and commercial deals in Arizona.
Donna, send JP an email.
Donna, send me an email and I'll forward it. Phyllis in Austin.
Wait, I can't wait to go to Tucson.
Phyllis in Austin, do you have any money for transactional funding, one-day funding? Yes. Go to REI.
That was a plant.
No, it wasn't.
That was a plant, dude.
It's not. It's Phyllis in Austin. I did not plant this question unless one of you guys asked it.
Phyllis, do you have a phone number?
It's not listed in the question.
That's amazing.
All right, I'm going to go to the phone and take one from the phone lines before we get out of control here. This is Independence, Cuyahoga, Ohio, area code 216. You are now unmuted. Who are you? Area code 216. 393. Should I keep going? You are now unmuted. Okay.
Oh, I had myself muted here. How's
that? Oh, okay. Well, there you go. What's your name?
This is Glenn. How you doing?
Hey, Glenn.
I'm in Cleveland.
Hey.
First,
what
I want to thank you very much. This is a great call, as are all of them.
Thank you.
I submitted a question online, which might have been easier, because I've forgotten half of what I asked. But I got to say this, with regards to Fred and what he was saying, yes, I wanted to know how to get MLS access, and you clarified that brilliantly. Yes, I now see how simple that is. Those guys spent a lot of money, and as he said, they went through all of it. So I think they built up a nice base of specialized knowledge, although it was scattered probably. And I'm going to theorize when they came across kiss flipping, and this is really a point in your guys' favor, because that would indicate that your program is probably extremely well structured, and of course easy, you know, implied by kiss. So I just want to point that out. The specialized knowledge that they came in with may have helped, and I'm not saying that to take anything away from what they achieved and or, you know, did. They acted, and they acted with passion. On our first introductory call, when I first talked to you, you brought up the hyper-focus issue, and that's absolutely, you know, that's phenomenal, too. It will have dramatic results in my investing eventually.
Well, and I'll say, if for anybody who's listening, if you haven't heard the hyper-focus, I pulled from one of our kiss flipping sessions a chunk of Bob talking about that whole hyper-focus concept. It's on the REITips.com blog. If you go search, just go to the search bar. I can't give you the exact URL off the top of my head, but go search for the word hyperfocus, and I'm not sure if it's together or separate words, but if you search for it, it'll come up as a blog post. Listen to that. It's about 10 minutes long, and it very well may change your life. In fact, I've got it set in my autoresponder on the blog. It's like immediately I want people to get to it. As soon as they get to REI Tips, I want them to hear that because it's really maybe the best, most powerful blog post I've ever put up. Thank you for bringing that up. Well, if I know we have a question for you on the webcast, then you want me just to wait till we get to that one? And
I figured them out. They're twofold, but I'd spit them out real quickly, if I may.
Go ahead.
One, would it be beneficial for someone that is new to go through the equivalent training of a real estate agent? I'm not saying go to get a license or go through the formal training, but develop that foundation so that you develop the terminology, the players, you know, the documentation in use, so on and so forth. And I'm assuming that you cover that in kiss flipping, too, obviously. Am I correct in that?
Great question.
I always advocate for someone to eventually get their license. It's necessary to be a market expert. You don't have to do it right away. But to truly understand the market, you need to get inside of homes without being harassed, without harassing other people, including homes that are being sold by traditional homeowners. Because that's how you figure out the market. So you could try to drag a realtor around to do that at first, but eventually I always advocate that people need to get their license.
Okay, that's great. And last but not least, if I might squeeze this in, you don't have to answer it, but I understand where Kiss Flipping is targeted, obviously, based on the name. Quick turn real estate, that's the primary focus. But are the techniques and or theory that you present in the course also applicable, at least some of it, to buy and hold strategies, which is my preference?
No, they are not.
Okay. I mean, well, it's a silly question on the surface.
Well,
but
no, they're applicable as far as acquiring. By far and away, that's where it applies, but the model, the whole purpose is to get a great deal right now and flip it right now. So when I teach people how to do Kiss Flipping, I'm teaching you how to find that market where people are flipping, where there's a great opportunity to flip. Now, that may be also an ideal market where you can rent. I tend to target markets where it's less renters and more homeowners. So if that happens to be in a great place where you could rent, then the acquisition method would still apply.
Right. Okay. Obviously, transactional funding would not be conducive to buy and hold. Unless you can immediately refinance, you know. So, yeah. Okay. All right.
Hey Glenn. Glenn, if I could address your first comment there. This is Fred. I don't think any of those other courses did anything beneficial to help me in Kiss Flipping whatsoever.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you say that. All right.
And I don't know what Fred took at all, so I can't tell you one way or the other, but it's
I could list them if you had another hour.
That's all right. I don't want to make any enemies in the industry here. Thank you, Glenn, for your question. I'm going to go ahead and mute you again, and I'm going to lower your hand in Cuyahoga. All right, let me go back over here. I had a couple of questions that came up with regards to partnering, and why don't I go ahead and do this? Well, okay, I got quite a few questions still in queue, guys. Can I go through some more questions? What's your timetable? I know we can't get through all of them, but give me a realistic time frame. We're already into 2 hours now.
I'm fine. Ironically, I don't know where my wife is. I keep looking out the window. I'm guessing she went over to her parents. Craig's probably getting screamed at, but
my wife probably fell asleep about an hour ago. But
I'm fine.
All right. Fred and Courtney, you guys need to bow out, or do you want to hang with us for a bit longer? What do you want to do?
We're okay a little longer.
Okay.